Happy New Year! Seems weird, right? December 1st to be proclaiming Happy New Year, but for the church, it's the one and only time we get ahead of the world, because for us, it's the beginning of the new church year. Today, December 1st, 2019, is for us the year of our Lord, 2020, the year of the church, beginning today, the new year. And for us, it's an opportunity for us as we light that first candle of the Advent season to remember that this is a time for us to watch. This is a time for us to prepare. This is a time for us to hope, because the Lord has brought us to this point. We live in a time where many people are suffering from the darkness that is this world. How many of you know of someone who has taken their own life? I don't know what's been happening, but in my age group, I'm 53, I constantly hear from my friends of people who have just given up. Just given up. And we live in a time where it is hopeless. Some people, they just get burdened by the darkness they see around them. They hear of the shootings. They hear of people betraying one another. They hear of marriages breaking up. They hear of children going astray. They hear of all these things, and they just get this darkness. And when I was serving, I served as a chaplain at a psychiatric facility, and even back then they were trying to diagnose or figure out what causes depression and what can lead people to such a point in depression to decide it's better to leave this life than to live it. And at that time, and I was trying to look it up, and I apologize, I didn't get time, but there were 9 things that they were at that time theorizing or proposing or hypothesizing, that these 9 things were the cause of depression. And the biggest thing that I, as a pastor, as I'm sitting in this group of all these different disciplines, I, as the token religious person that was responsible for the spiritual life of the people on my ward, as I was listening to these people talk, the one thing that kept, when it kept coming up, was whether they used it, they called it detachment or alienation. Have you ever heard that term? Detachment or alienation. And that was one of the biggest terms that came up as they were trying to figure out what causes this. What is the root cause of depression? And one of the things that kept coming up was a sense of alienation. This sense of I don't belong. This sense of there's something wrong with me. Nobody will accept me. There's something that I'm doing that's in me that makes me undesirable, or, you know, and they would talk about this alienation or detachment over and over and over again. And it bothered me so much, because if you noticed what words we put on everything here, what's the first word? Belong. Because for me, there was a huge transformation in my life when I understood that I could never do anything in my life that would be bad enough for God to turn away from me. This is hard. I was in a military environment, and you follow the rules and you do things, and there's punishment when you don't follow the rules, right? There's consequences. And so I was very much in a law-orientated environment. And for me, this came when I got prayed over for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This, for me, was one of the biggest things that ever happened in my life, was to understand that I could never do anything that would separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know that that's not something that society understands? It wasn't something I, growing up in a Christian home and having a father who always told me that I had value. My dad was kind of weird this way, because my dad's not a warm, fuzzy type person, not a warm, huggy type person, but whenever I would go someplace, he'd always say, remember who you are. This is his favorite thing. Remember who you are. And, you know, it was a good way of putting it, so that it wasn't like, you know, there's a lot of parents, when I would go visit, pick up my friends, they would say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And all the time in their back of their minds, they were thinking, I hope they miss something. Because what did they think if they missed something? If they didn't say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And if they missed something, what did they think? They could do it. That was a way better system for going on and rebelling than my father's system. He didn't leave room for that. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the thing that just came crashing in on me was the sense that I belonged. And I believe that, you know, we've come to the beginning of another church year. Pretty soon we come to the beginning of another calendar year. And I think it's a wonderful privilege that God has decided to put us here in this place at this time in history for a purpose. I don't believe we're here by accident. I don't believe it's some sort of like, you know, throw the dice and wherever you end up, you know, that's I don't believe in that. I believe, and I read this in Proverbs this morning again, that God has a plan. In Proverbs it says he's already chosen us and has a plan for us. And I believe that God already had a plan for us. He said that Brian Schindel, Brian Perkins, David, Joe, Paul, Joanne, Claudette, I can keep going. Small enough, I could probably do them all. You belong here. Not just in this building, not just in the church family, but you belong here because God has chosen to put you here at this time for a reason. And I'm telling you something, and I've said this a lot, it's a lot harder to be here now in history when there are more Christian martyrs happening around the world than ever before. When people are close to the truth, when people are following after lies with tremendous enthusiasm. Have you noticed? When darkness seems to be around us, I mean, these are statistics, suicide statistics that we'd like to see change in 2019. This is from last year. Suicides in Michigan, 64% higher than they were 20 years ago. 64%. That's huge. 1,200 people, almost 1,200, a little under 1,200 in Michigan last year. 1,200 suicides. Every 28 seconds, someone attempts suicide. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for people aged 15 to 24. Why do you think God put us here? Why do you think this chapel, when I remember my first visit to Ann Arbor, and we came past this chapel, and I was in a car with Larry Frank and with Phil Geyer, and then we went past this chapel, and I remember them saying, I don't think it's been active for years. They were doing English as a second language here or whatever. I don't think they've had a presence here for years. I think they're renting it to somebody. I remember thinking to myself, that's just such an important age group. We've got to be here. We've got to have a presence here. This is so important. At that time, at least there was another chapel on campus. Now we're it. This is the second leading cause of death for people aged 15 to 24. You know what the first cause of death is? Pardon me? Drugs. American Indians and Alaskan Natives are at the highest risk of suicide in the United States. Male suicide rates are more than three times that of females. And you know what's hard in churches? Is in most churches, they're crying for ways to connect with young men. They always say, if we have something, the women show up. We have something that's spiritual, the ladies show up. But it's the men. And that's what, I don't know if you've been here on a Friday night, but there's something special about where we are in this place, that we have a good representation and a good ratio of male and female students coming, don't we, Hannah? I mean, it is exciting because we have an opportunity to build into lives of people who are, there are people that come to Pancakes that may be in this trajectory in their life, and if they're male, they're three times more likely to do something than female. So just saying, what a blessing, right? Not a blessing? People in Montana, Alaska, and Wyoming, thankfully not Michigan on that list, almost two times more likely to commit suicide. I share those statistics only to show you that last Sunday we had the community Thanksgiving service over at First Baptist, and we took an offering for a group called Are You Okay, which works with students. And it works at suicide prevention. And I thought it was a great offering to have because it's a need. But I'm telling you, it's become, there is just something as Christ is taken out of the schools, as Christ is taken out of society, as Christ is put down and redefined by society. How many of you heard about Turkey Day? Somebody kept saying Turkey Day and I didn't know what they were saying. And I was told that's what people in school are told to say instead of Thanksgiving. I'm like, you're kidding me. Turkey Day, what does that mean? What if you decide to have ham? What a tragedy. Anyways, they had deer the first Thanksgiving. So, you know, I mean, really, not just about turkeys. But my point is as the Lord is as the presence of Christ is decreasing in our society, it's becoming darker. As it becomes darker, it's time for us as the church to shine. That's why I feel it a privilege of belonging to a family here at Cross Resurrection at the chapel that we can reach out and we can make people welcome and help them understand that they belong. There's not one person across the street at Concordia, at Washington Community College, at U of M for whom Jesus didn't die. We understand this? He died for each and every one. And it is his desire for us to communicate that. And that's why we need to be a beacon. This is why we're here. This is why we have this big, huge cross on top when the wind's blowing, feels like it's going to come crashing down. But it's here because out of the, when you come out of the banquet room in the student center, you look across, what do you see? The cross. It's an awesome gift. It's our heritage. So, that being said, St. Paul knew that the times were going to be dark. Matter of fact, in chapter 12, he tells us to let our bodies be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, so that we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. He encourages us to worship God. He encourages us to live as new people under the Lordship of Christ. But he also, in chapter 13, he gives us marching orders. He says, so how are you going to do that? When you're transformed, when you understand how special you are, when you understand who you are in Christ, when you understand that he died for you and rose again for you and has a place for you and has a plan for you, and you are not here by accident, you are here on purpose. And he has a plan for you at this point in history. How are you going to live that? And so I want to just say that he says to wake up. He says, we're not here by accident. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. What happens when darkness comes on? People tend to get tired. They tend to get frustrated. They tend to get sleepy. And this is what he's saying. He said, you know, they just want to pretend everything is gone and just fall asleep. And he says, the time has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Isn't that awesome? Every year that goes by, every day that goes by, we're closer to salvation. Whether it's Jesus returning or whether we get to go to meet him. Either way, every day we're closer to salvation. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. I love this verse. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. How many of you wake up and are excited to take on the day? Yeah? Right? Some of us are not morning people, so we're not putting up our hands. But we want to take on the day, right? Because we know the Lord has given us another day. That's the way the Bible tells us. We should wake up in the morning and thank God for another day. Because it's an opportunity for us to live for him another day. And these are the simple words that St. Paul gives to the people in Rome. Now, if there's any place that's dark at this time in history, it's Rome. They have all the stuff. They have all the stuff that in Ecclesiastes, again, I was reading, listening to Ecclesiastes this morning, and you're hearing King Solomon talk about all the stuff he had. He said first he started out with desire, then he started out with possessions, or then he went to possessions, and he thought, well, I have all that I desire and all the pleasures I want, and then I tried all of the possessions from a worldly perspective that I could have. Then he said, I tried work. And all of them ended with the same recognition that when you try to do things on your own, what happens? It's like what?
Vanity.
It's vanity. Yeah. It's like trying to chase after wind. If you're trying to do it on your own, it's futile. And so what Ecclesiastes was saying today is that I tried all these things. I didn't find the answer in them because the answer isn't in them. This is what St. Paul says to the people in Rome. He says, how we live when we know who we are. Chapter 13 of Romans, you can look it up. So then let us cast off the works of darkness. Think about that for a second. Let us cast off the works of darkness. How many of us have cast off the works of darkness? You know, I'm not talking about works here, but I am talking about sanctification. And sanctification does mean that we make decisions. I don't know if you know this. On the side of justification, there is nothing we can do to decide for Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who allows us to say yes to Jesus, okay? Nothing we can do. On the side of justification, there's nothing we can do. But on the side of sanctification, which is Christ working in us and changing us, that transforming that's going on, there's lots of things we can do. And one of them is to cast off the works of darkness. Now, I don't know what the works of darkness are in your life, because I think there's lots. I could go out and make a huge list, and then you'd be like my friends who said, oh, you didn't say this and you didn't say that. I'd be looking for little loopholes, right? You didn't say this. Pastor didn't say this. So this isn't a... No. What is darkness in your life? What takes away from the light? When this light is lit, what takes away from it? What draws the light away? That's darkness. What dissipates the light? What takes the light from being as bright as it can be and dissipates it or takes it down and makes it just a light glow? That's works of darkness. What are the works of darkness in your life? I'm not asking you to yell them out loud. I'm just asking you to think about them. I like Sarah's words today when she said, when you let God show you, he reveals to you. You know, there's times when I've been in worship where I've been going through the words of the confession, because how many of us have done the confession? A lot. I mean, ever since I was a kid, we've done the confession, right, at the beginning of church. And I can go through without thinking. And every once in a while, the Holy Spirit zaps me. What I mean by that is the Holy Spirit kind of gets my attention and points out that I missed something. And it's like this huge thing. It's right in front of me, and yet I was kind of going to go around it. Because if I cast it off, it would mean a huge change. If I cast it off, it means that I would have to do without. If you were around me, you know that when we lived in these small towns, I get this panic feeling every time when all the stores, we were talking about this last week, all the stores were closed at 6 o'clock in the town we lived in. And so at about 5:30, I'm thinking, what do we need? We got to go to the store. It's going to close. What do you need? Tell me right now. There'd be huge lineups. Everybody running to the store right before we close. Because we have a sense that we don't want to miss anything. We don't want to be without. And when you cast off the works of darkness, sometimes it means a huge change, right? But he says, don't just cast off the works of darkness. Because you've probably heard this before, cast off the works of darkness. But what does he say immediately? Cast off, put on. Sounds like Karate Kid, you know? Cast off, put on. True. Simultaneously. Because when we cast off something, the Lord immediately wants to give us something to take that place. That's the one thing that happens when you go to AA groups or RA groups or whatever group you go to, if you go to a help group, is one of the things that's so important is if someone gets rid of something in their life and they don't replace it with something where that big hole is, they struggle. Because it is cast off, put on. Cast off, put on. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Isn't that awesome? Think about that when you wake up in the morning. Think about that when you go to bed at night. Cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Because by doing so, it allows us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk properly as in the daytime. And here's where he lists those. Remember I said my friends like to have what they shouldn't do? Well, he lists a few. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Just a few. Just a few. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Don't let your life be ruled by darkness. Because I'll tell you something, when I was a chaplain there, it was in Alberta, and then I went to Saskatchewan. I actually helped develop the chaplaincy program at Saskatchewan Hospital in North Battleford. And one of the things that I really put a lot of emphasis on, and I thought of all people, pastors should be good at this, is to help people to understand that they belong. To understand that detachment or this feeling of alienation is a lie. It's a lie. Because who's with us at all times? Jesus. He's with us. He's in us. He's around us. He's there at all times. So what are we going to do in this new year of the church? What is going to be our mode of operation? Cast off. Put on. Say it with me. Cast off. Put on. Cast off. The works of darkness, put on the armor of light so we can walk properly and be the church that Jesus won. He shed his blood. He has made us righteous. We are his bride. And he desperately wants to see us move in his power and do what he's called us to do. Amen. Let's stand as we pray.